There is no children's programs today, but if parents want to take their children to creche, they're welcome to. They're welcome to keep them in here. It doesn't matter to me in the slightest. It's great to have them amongst us. Luke chapter 2 and verse 21 to 24, and then down to verse 39. On the eighth day, when it was time to circumcise him, he was named Jesus, the name the angel had given him before he had been conceived. When the time of their purification, according to the law of Moses, had been completed, Joseph and Mary took him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it's written in the law of the Lord, every firstborn male is to be consecrated to the Lord and to offer a sacrifice in keeping with what is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of doves or two young pigeons. Verse 39. When Joseph and Mary had done everything required by the law of the Lord, they returned to Galilee, to their own town of Nazareth, and the child grew and became strong. He was filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him. Let's pray together. Loving God, we pray in these moments that you would come by your Spirit and illumine our minds. That you would open our eyes to see the wonderful truths in your word, open our ears to hear and to receive from it. Lord, we pray that you would give us minds to process, to understand, to apply to our lives today, and all this for your glory and for your honor alone. For we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Most parents do everything they can for a new baby, especially for their firstborn. Long before the birth, they begin to make the arrangements for where their baby will sleep, choosing the right crib or Moses basket, cot and pram. Or these days, they tell me it's all about travel systems, whatever that happens to mean. Everything thought through and organized. Well, almost everything in our case. Let me just make sure that tightened. There we go. Almost everything in our case, because actually, we had no idea if it was going to be a boy or a girl. So we hadn't actually gone to hospital prepared with any nice outfit to put on for the official first photograph in the hospital. And so Morag got me sent out of Perth Royal Infirmary down to Mother Care to have a look around to see what I could find. And boy, trying to send a dad to look for clothes for a newborn baby is always interesting. Thankfully, I think I found something okay. I got the nod of approval anyway for one of the two. Then once the baby is born, providing almost constant care for them, holding, feeding, burping, changing. Good parents give their children everything they need, from booties to buggies to bundles of joy. But the most important thing that parents can do for their children are spiritual things. Good parents pray for their children, asking God to bless them with good health and spiritual growth. They read and sing the scriptures to them. They take them to worship in God's house. They show them by their example their faith and obedience to the Lord. And by faith, they present their children to God. Mary and Joseph did all of this for their firstborn son. They were godly parents who wanted to do what God required. We've already been reminded during this Advent season, if you've been worshiping with us, that Joseph was a righteous man, that Mary had found favor with God. She had declared of herself, "I am the Lord's servant. May it be to me as you have said." Here, in these verses before us, and the ones we read and some of the other ones in between, five times, Luke tells us that they did something for their son in accordance with God's law. In accordance with God's law, verse 22, 23, 24, 27, and then down in verse 39, when they had done everything required by the law of the Lord. This Advent season, we've been considering a theme of faith and obedience at Christmas. Here today, we see a young couple in our scriptures who are devoted to God and following his ways. So today, let's think on faith and obedience, preparing to parent well. And of course, this fits rather nicely for Judith and Lawrence coming to dedicate Reuben, thanking God for his life and promising to bring him up well. They are preparing to parent well by living in faith and obedience before God, seeking to share with their son and their daughter as they grow. Now, not all of this text is immediately applicable to us today, for some of this is Jewish ritual, Old Testament regulations that have been superseded in Christ, the child we are speaking of. We don't need to worry about circumcision now, not in the sense of the scripture, the Old Testament, because we live under the new covenant, although we are called to circumcise our hearts before God. We don't need to worry about the kind of purification process that Mary went through and the sacrifices that she offered, although it is always important for us to purify our hearts before coming before God. But the principles here of honoring God and devoting ourselves to following in his ways still stand. The first key thing to note then is that they are following the requirements of the Lord. This is why Luke is keen to emphasize five times throughout the remainder of this chapter that they did everything required of them by the law of the Lord. This wonderful couple lived in obedience to the word of God and so were influential in raising the Son of God. We'll see that Mary and Joseph obeyed the law so that Jesus could then fulfill the law. We see through this that Mary and Joseph's careful obedience to the Lord were key factors in preparing Jesus for his earthly ministry. Verses 21 to 24 show us three separate ceremonies that families were called to follow. Circumcision, which was done on the eighth day, and then some 33 days later, they would return for purification and then presentation. The first would likely be done at home, and the latter two would be done on the same trip to the temple. So Joseph and Mary had to make the journey from Bethlehem up to Jerusalem. With circumcision, we also find them naming the child. So four ways they fulfilled the requirements of the law. Let me just mention them to us. They did this through circumcising Jesus. Verse 21, on the eighth day when it was time to circumcise him, he was named Jesus, the name the angel had given him before he had been conceived. In other words, on the eighth day of Jesus' life, as it was for every other Jewish boy, that was the prescribed day for circumcision. God required it. He had said in Leviticus chapter 12 and verse 3, on the eighth day, the boy is to be circumcised. So if Joseph and Mary were going to be God-fearing parents, then they had to start right by doing everything that God said, trusting and obeying Jehovah. That was the beginning of wisdom, the beginning of blessed parenthood. So they had their darling boy circumcised. And Joseph, in all likelihood, would have had to do that himself. It wasn't for some centuries that rabbis took on the responsibility of circumcising baby boys. So 8 days earlier, Joseph had had to assist Mary in giving birth to Jesus, likely in that stable, that outhouse outside the inn, because there was no room for them. And there was no one else there but Joseph to help his wife in childbirth. And now he's got to circumcise the baby. He had to do it. Just think about that, fathers amongst us this morning. You're holding in your arms your tiny, adorable, newborn son. Maybe you're 21 years of age and now you're going to get the razor out and do what needs done. And Joseph had been told just how important this baby was. Christ the Lord, the Son of the Most High. I wonder if you would sleep the night before you did this. You'd pray together, your wife and yourself. You'd ask God to help you to make sure that your hand stayed steady and didn't tremble. You wouldn't be aware of one interesting fact. The fact that God has so designed the human body that around the eighth day of life, the blood clotting factor is at its highest. And isn't that just amazing, by the way, just to think about that for a moment? Everything about our bodies, absolutely everything, thought through, planned, prepared, designed by God, we are fearfully and wonderfully made. And you wouldn't be aware of that one interesting fact, but you would know that circumcision was done to every single Jewish baby boy with no fatalities, as it had been done to you and God now required of it for your son. This was a very important ritual in a Jewish family, because the circumcision of the males was a sign that they were a people set apart for God. It was a sign and seal of the Abrahamic covenant from Genesis 17. Every good Jewish family would have this done to their son, but it was especially important for Mary and Joseph to make sure that Jesus went through the ceremony because he was definitely set apart for God's service. Jesus couldn't have been accepted as a teacher in Israel unless he had been circumcised. There had been no possibility of him standing in the temple courts and crying out to the crowds of people hanging on to his every words in John 7:37, where he said, "If anyone is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as the scriptures have said, streams of living water will flow from him." An uncircumcised Jesus would have had no admission to any lawful Jewish assembly. We know from the book of Hebrews that Jesus has experienced life in every way just as we do, yet was without sin. But here we see that some of his steps of obedience were dependent upon his parents, Joseph and Mary. They had to fulfill the requirements of the law here. Jesus couldn't do this for himself. The very Son of God has taken on frail human flesh and is dependent on his earthly parents to do what needs done according to the law. And so as parents, we have a huge responsibility. It is very important that we take an active role in making sure that our children learn the Bible and obey it. They're too young to do that for themselves. But we start young and we train them up. We pray for them at a young age. We read stories from the Bible to them. We bring them to church. We fulfill the requirements of the law under the new covenant. I love seeing newborn babies in church. I love watching them as they grow up, Reuben and Rebecca, and then all of our older children as well. We have a responsibility, even at this young age, to show them the example of a godly life, of a life of faith and obedience. Lawrence and Judith, it's great how you are bringing your children up, how you read the stories of the Bible to them, how you bring them to church. Keep going, every parent in this place, keep going. It is such an important thing to be doing. Mary and Joseph also fulfilled the requirements of the Lord through naming Jesus. In those days, it was customary for a son to receive his name at the time of circumcision. We read that there in verse 21, that on the eighth day, when it was time to circumcise him, he was named Jesus. Importantly, the name the angel had given him before he had been conceived. Mary and Joseph knew they were instrumental in training and raising Jesus according to God's word, just as all parents are. And so they made sure that Jesus was circumcised on the eighth day. Jesus obeyed later in life, partly because Joseph and Mary obeyed at this stage of his life. And they obeyed all of God's word. Not only God's word as recorded in the Old Testament, but also God's word as spoken through the angel. You'll remember Gabriel came and spoke to them. And in the second half of verse 21, we see that they're obedient in naming Jesus. Now, I don't know what you went through, John, Judith, and Lawrence, in choosing names for Reuben. But I can imagine when we were expecting, we went out and bought a book of names to go through. These days, I guess you probably do it on the internet. You get some app to pick and to choose. But we went through this book of names, and by jingle, there are some interesting names in some of those books. And I was going to share one or two of them with you this morning, but I decided against that just in case somebody in your family has inadvertently called somebody one of those names. I'm going to be careful. But you thought, we choose names very carefully. We choose them deliberately. And you two have chosen English, Cantonese names very carefully for Reuben. Joseph and Mary knew this child's name. They have both been given it. Remember, Gabriel visited Mary, and in Luke chapter 1 and verse 31, she was told, "You will be with child and will give birth to a son, and you're to give him the name Jesus." Mary will have spent months now, nine of them, pondering this whole situation, this pregnancy, this child she has carried, time spent pondering that name and what it means. Joseph has been told by the angel what to call the child too. Matthew 1 and 21. She will give birth to a son, and you're to give him the name Jesus because he will save his people from their sins. Jesus, of course, is the Greek form of the name Joshua, which means the Lord saves. Joseph and Mary didn't argue over names. They didn't get a book out and flick their way through them all, going, "Oh, I like this one. Oh, that one's terrible. Oh, that one's laughable." They knew They are simply obedient to the very word of God as they received it from the angel. This young couple followed the requirements of the Lord, of God's word. Their faith and obedience is plain to see. And because they obeyed God's word, the voice announcing the coming of the Messiah was truly heard. When God's people obey God's word, the coming of the Messiah is announced. When you obey God's word, the natural result will be that we will also announce that Jesus Christ is Lord, that he is the Messiah, that he is the Savior of the world, that he is my Lord and my Savior. When people see us and the way we live according to the word of God, hopefully they will also see Jesus and his light shining through us. But there's more faith and obedience, because we go on to see this through purifying Mary. Verse 22, when the time of their purification according to the law of Moses had been completed, Joseph and Mary took him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. Again, this couple are obedient to the law. They're fulfilling the requirements of the Lord. Purification happened 33 days after the act of circumcision, in effect, 40 days after birth. There was a ceremony to have in the temple. There was a sacrifice to be offered. We've already mentioned Leviticus 12 and 3. Let me just read a few extra words there from the words we thought on. On the eighth day, the boy is to be circumcised, and then the woman must wait 33 days to be purified from her bleeding. She must not touch anything sacred or go to the sanctuary until the days of her purification are over. The new mother is ceremonially unclean for 7 days, remember, hence the circumcision and naming on the eighth day, but she remains unclean for a further 33 days until she's purified. This means that she can't go to the temple. She's not allowed to touch anything sacred there at the temple. Now, we might get all upset about why this is in the Bible and our modern way of looking at things, but let's remember, purification was all about God's people being set apart and taught how to live pure lives before God. It was crucial. When her time was up, she was required to bring the priest a lamb for a burnt offering, a pigeon for a sin offering. In this case, Mary and Joseph didn't bring a lamb because they couldn't afford one. All they had to offer was two young pigeons. And again, as we read in verse 24, as you'll find in Leviticus chapter 12, verse 8, this is an acceptable alternative for poorer people, a clear reminder of the poverty into which Jesus was born, and a further reminder, if we need it, of the humility of his incarnation. Now, a big question arises here, for ordinarily the rite of purification presumed that the child was a sinner. Presumably, what made the mother impure was the guilt of her child's sin, which he or she had inherited from Adam. But the child that came from Mary's womb was the sinless Son of God. He was completely without sin, either original or actual. So why did Mary have to be purified? Because God had commanded it. And also because our Son had come to take our sin upon himself. The association between Jesus and the need for cleansing was an early clue that one day he would be the bearer of our sin, that one day God made him, 2 Corinthians 5:21, made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. Again, the reminder that this couple were completely obedient to God, following his regulations, meeting his requirements. Joseph and Mary did not rush things. They did everything by the book. They come before the Lord ready and prepared. And maybe, just maybe, there's a little lesson for us to take our time, to stop cutting corners, to maybe stop rushing in at the last minute to church, to come ready. To come prepared, to come prepared to meet with God, to meet with him in worship and praise, but importantly, to meet with him around his word. One more ceremony after purification, presentation. We see them fulfilling and following the law through presenting Jesus. Verse 22. When the time of their purification according to the law of Moses had been completed, Joseph and Mary took him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it's written in the law of the Lord, every firstborn male is to be consecrated to the Lord. Son, we're taking you to your father's house, Joseph might have said as he smiled down at his baby boy. They took him there that first definitive time, and they could have said to the Lord, "Here he is, your blessed son. Help us to care for him. Put no stumbling block in the way of us raising him to love you and to serve you." And then to the feasts in Jerusalem, a few times each year they took Jesus and then their other children, so that Jesus became very familiar with the temple, his true father's home, and knew it was his home as well. You remember Hannah, the mother of Samuel, presenting him at the temple, how she had prayed long for a son and God had heard her prayer, and soon she brought him, young as he was, to the house of the Lord. And she said to Eli the priest in 1 Samuel 1 and 26, "As surely as you live, my Lord, I am the woman who stood here beside you praying to the Lord. I prayed for this child, and the Lord has granted me what I asked of him. So now I give him to the Lord. For his whole life he will be given over to the Lord." Hannah had said to the Lord, "If you would give me a child, then I'll give that child to you for all the days of his life." Children are an inheritance from the Lord, and we give them back to God to serve him all of their days. That is the movement and model for every Christian parent. And that's what makes dedication services so special. We thank God for his wonderful gift of life and giving us a child. And we promise to bring them up knowing and serving the Lord. Judith and Lawrence, follow the example of Mary and Joseph. Be following the requirements of the Lord. Live lives of faith and obedience. Walk closely with the Lord daily yourselves. Keep short accounts of sin. Read and learn from and apply his word. And seek to bring Reuben and Rebecca up in the ways of the Lord. For all of us as parents, that's what we seek to do. Which actually moves us neatly to the very final point this morning. And no sub-point, you'll be pleased to hear on this one. For we move to verses 39 to 40, and we find Mary and Joseph faithfully raising the child. When Joseph and Mary had done everything required by the law of the Lord, they returned to Galilee, to their own town of Nazareth. And the child grew and became strong, and he was filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him. So at this point, they returned to Nazareth. Now, Luke doesn't record that, but we know from Matthew that before the return to Nazareth, the wise men have come to Bethlehem and visited. Then Joseph and Mary flee to Egypt and only then return to Nazareth. But it's in Nazareth that Jesus grew up and was raised by his parents. But verse 40 shows us that although he was like other children in some ways, he was unlike them in others. As Jesus grew physically, he was also developing mentally and spiritually. And all three are essential for the proper growth and development of children. And I think this is another wonderful reminder of our Lord's incarnation. He has taken on frail, weak human flesh. He has to grow up like every child ever born has to grow. He has to grow physically. And he becomes stronger. No doubt he's banging nails into wood in his father's workshop. He grows mentally. It says there that he was filled with wisdom, and he grows spiritually because it says there that the grace of God was upon him. We help our children to grow strong and healthy physically. Many of us try and teach them mentally as well, although we do begin to then send them off to school to finish that off and round it off a bit. But I wonder how good we are as parents at helping them grow spiritually. I wonder how many of us think that's what Sunday school's for, what youth group is for. No, it's not. That's to supplement what we do, definitely. And there's a great place for all of those things. And we're delighted in the folks that teach our children week by week in Sunday school and in all of the groups as they grow up. But the primary responsibility for spiritual growth is a parent's responsibility. That's one of the reasons that I always read Deuteronomy 6 at dedication services, because it is such an important passage for us in raising our children. In Jewish culture, this would be learned and recited and lived and responded to. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength. These commandments that I give you today are to be on your hearts. Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home, when you walk along the road, when you lie down and when you get up. Tie them as symbols on your hands and bind them on your foreheads. Write them on the door frames of your houses and on your gates. Mary and Joseph will have been familiar with those words, and they will have used them and lived them out as they raised Jesus well. They began that with their faith and obedience to God in having the child, then in having him dedicated, and then in raising him in the very ways of the Lord. Going to church was important to them, as we find them in the very next verse, verse 41, going to the temple again with their children. Sharing their faith was important to them. Praying together and learning God's word as a family was important to them. What a godly couple Joseph and Mary are. They are following the requirements of the Lord, and they are faithfully raising the child. May we be a people who follow the requirements of the Lord always. And parents out there this morning, let's be seeking to follow God ever closer ourselves. Then let's be teaching our children as well the very things of God as you go about life. Pray together. Read the Bible together. Talk about it. Talk about the things of God as you walk through life. Memorize Scripture together. If we want to parent well, then we need to do some preparation. And that begins with our personal faith and obedience, as we've been thinking right through the Advent season. Friends, let's keep following the Lord closely. Let's seek to live by faith, and let's to seek to live in obedience to Him. Today, let's all learn what it is to parent well, that we might encourage the parents amongst us, and as parents, that we might take on board that desire to follow the requirements of the Lord and to raise our children well. Let's pray together. Loving God, we want to thank you for your word. We want to thank you for these verses that we often skip over in the midst of the Advent season, because we like to focus on the ones that make us all warm and fuzzy, the ones that remind us of the Word becoming flesh and dwelling among us. But Lord, we thank you for these important verses that remind us of what godly parenting is, that parenting style where we follow the requirements of the Lord, where we seek to raise our children faithfully before God. Lord, I want to pray today for Judith and Lawrence, that they would continue to raise their children well, that they would continue to live lives of faith and obedience before you. Lord, that you would bless them in that endeavor, that you would protect them, that you would energize them and excite them for that work and that task. Lord, that they would, they and their children would know you and love you and walk in your ways always. Lord, we pray that for all parents amongst us this morning. Lord, that we would take that responsibility seriously to bring up our children well, to bring them up according to your ways, that we would walk in them. Lord, for all of us, that call to walk faithfully with you is for all of us. That call to grow physically, to grow mentally, and to grow spiritually is there for all of us. Lord, help us to grow in wisdom. Help us to grow in stature. Help us to receive that grace from you, Lord, that grace upon grace. Father God, as this year ends, as we look forward to a new year coming, may we each of us commit ourselves afresh to living lives of faith and obedience before you. Help us to honor you in all that we do. And Lord, we pray that you would grant us wisdom and that you would pour your grace on us always. So hear our prayers this morning. And Lord, continue with us, we ask, as we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.